mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 55. Death by Sokka's dad, Zuko grumbled under his breath as they waited on the middle dock. Not the way I wanted to go. Shiron gave him a telling look. I'd hate to think you had a way you did want to go. Do we need more guards?
I don't need guards!
Zuko wanted to snap, but didn't. He knew exactly what advice Amaya would give to anyone who'd drowned, or who'd been set on fire, or faced off with spirits, much less all three. And that would be rest. Stay calm. Take it easy a few days. As if they had a few days. Chief Hakoda is an honorable man, Zuko said instead. If he planned to raid us, I think we'd know about it by now. Besides, wood's flammable. True. Shirong looked cheered by the thought. Zuko tried not to raise his brow. Just what had people told Shirong about the Water Tribe to spark that bloodthirsty reaction?
One word, Katara, part of his mind pointed out.
Ah, right. That mess. Maybe it would have been better to get Uncle Iroh off the cone after all. No, priorities. We need to figure out how to vent Asagi Tatsu, or none of this is going to work. And Uncle had only proposed a couple of days ago. Zuko was not going to subject Master Amaya to a whole fleet's worth of disgust for her necklace. I can handle this. And if he couldn't, Lieutenant Taruko, Archer Nagamasa, and Nagamasa's people had set up an interesting little crossfire. Arrows might not be much good against the drowned, but the Yuyan were deadly against mere human foes. Agni favors the side with ranged weapons. Breathe. Mentally check over his appearance one more time. Sheathed Dao. There was no way Hakoda would be coming on shore unarmed. Copper-trimmed brown robe to replace the green the spirit world had seared to ash. No water skin in sight. The bay would have to do. If he were pushed that hard. Hair pulled back with an old-fashioned flame ornament. And who knew how Madame Wen had kept that among her jewelry? Not exactly princely standards of appearance, but Hakoda had seen him in worse. Attitude. Take your stance. Wait. From the looks on men's faces as Hakoda's ship pulled up to the dock, they were not happy to see him.
So what else is new?
The chief himself stepped onto the dock with an air of a man picking his way over swamp tussocks. The warriors behind him looked even less thrilled.
Prince Zuko, I didn't expect to see you here.
Chief Hakoda, Zuko acknowledged. I could say the same. Not too many people want to get close to an active volcano.
And how close you are? We'll let that lie for now.
The hawk we sent you came back without a reply.
I didn't know what to say.
Hakoda glanced at Shirong.
Are you still allies of the Earth King? Wasn't a question I expected from a Fire Nation exile.
Wait for it. Wait.
And you of all people should know Ba Sing Se has fallen.
The city will not fall while its true king reigns. Shirong said levelly. Ba Sing Se might be occupied, but my people still fight. In more ways than one, Zuko stated.
That better have been enough diplomacy. We don't have time for this.
He jerked his head towards the Temple Mountain far above. Sokka's been up there, so you know who's up there and what he's done for the Fire Nation in the past. We're here to see his little airborne rebellion doesn't get derailed by a smart commander with archers and a good store of burning catapult ammunition. Gliders burn.
You would know, Hakoda said dryly. For such a helpful camp, this looks a lot like the start of a Fire Nation colony.
This is Dragon's Wings. This is hope. But he'd never understand.
Call it what you want. We told you why we're here.
Zuko tried not to grit his teeth.
Why are you? Where's your uncle?
Do not fry condescending Water Tribe barbarian, Zuko told himself.
General Iroh is currently working on how to talk a very cranky volcano out of blowing the Northern Air Temple off the map.
He caught his breath.
If you want to talk to him, you can wait until he's found a good time and take a break.
Unfortunately, it's true, Shirong said to the disbelieving silence. I've only recently reported to the Earth King just how close Azagitatsu is to erupting. We had no idea when he and the prince negotiated their treaty. Our own earthbenders have confirmed the danger, and the Earth King has full confidence that our allies can handle this, if anyone can.
Hakoda gave him a narrow look, but turned back to Zuko.
Then where's Captain G?
Ready to turn you all into flaming splinters!
For a moment, Zuko let the implied insult lie.
He might not know. He might not. But he'd seen that flick of calculating eyes at court before. How hard can I push? A noble's stance would snicker. Before he disgraces himself with unmannerly fury. Because that was always what happened. He couldn't play the game to save his life. All he could do was listen and feel the venomous barbs sink home. And endure until he could escape. Burn them. Drown them all. No, bad idea. Asagitatsu's flames were all that stood between them and more drowned. Borrowing them to kill would not be wise. But oh, it was so tempting.
Chief Hakoda.
Shirong's voice sounded like it'd taken a dip at the North Pole.
Am I to understand that you prefer not to deal with the authority the Earth King and the Volcano Spirit herself recognizes as the Lord of Dragon's Wings?
Which, on the surface, gave Hakoda an out. All he had to do was say yes. And if he did, Zuko knew, Shirong, and everyone else who wanted their settlement to be respected as theirs, by humans and the spirits, would cheerfully toss the entire Water Tribe fleet out on its ear. Which meant things were about to escalate. Quickly, and damn it, he didn't want a fight.
Hey, Water Tribe, Saluen chirped, waved from the shore end of the docks, Longshui weighing up the situation beside her. We're gonna go ask the gliders if they're going to start acting like neighbors or try dropping bombs on us. Wanna come?
And thank Agni for spyglasses, and giving your allies quick briefings at the drop of a blue sail disaster. Zuko watched Hakoda's expression veer from surprise to outrage to carefully stifled dismay, and tried not to grin. This time, I win. Lifting all three of them and a pile of supplies up the mountainside on a circling snake of ice, Longshui finally sighed.
Okay, that was a little too close.
You said it, Saluen agreed, glancing back at the bay far below. Did you see those fires jumping out there? I thought we were going to have crispy southerners in another minute. Actually, he'd been watching the water surge furiously around the dock pilings. Another minute, a few more vicious words, and it would have been razor-edged ice. And we'd have been short one Water Tribe fleet. Well, probably not. Zuko had a grip on his temper. Just not one Longshui wanted to test to destruction.
My daughter could tell you how dangerous he is, Hakoda said grimly.
Katara, right? Longshui snorted. I'll take deliberate threat over spoiled brat starting a riot any day. Why didn't you tie her up? You're her chief, and you could have used ropes. Which might not have been the best thing he could say,
Long Shui realized, catching Saluan's wince and the incredulous outrage on Hakoda's face.
You expect me to attack my own daughter? Hakoda exclaimed.
It's what we do on Kyoshi Island if a waterbender won't control himself. Saluan gave the chief a searching look, eyes framed, dark in a white-painted face. But we usually use ropes before it gets to riots. A waterbender who's too mad to listen, pulling on people's hearts, people die. That's the kind of thing that gets you thrown to the unagi. She held up a gloved hand. Little brother, stop the ice.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
A downward slash of his hands halted them. Lung Shui stepped off onto solid earth and crossed his arms with a cold, neutral face. See? Not bending. Being polite. Only, from Hakoda's frown, he didn't recognize the stance at all. What the heck?
We've only heard what the crew on Suzuran could tell us, Saluan said matter-of-factly. Wouldn't surprise me if they exaggerated a little. They were probably expecting a full-scale tsunami if she didn't stop. Something that would break Suzuran's back and send her to the bottom, just like the invasion fleet. She shrugged. So, what happened?
Hakoda looked down the slope toward the harbor. You expect me to believe they thought Katara could sink their ship?
She's the Avatar's teacher, Lung Shui said bluntly. She probably can.
Hakoda started to object and stopped. Looked Lung Shui up and down.
Could you?
Metal and that big? Probably not. Lung Shui shrugged. Captain G's been up against waterbenders. He knows to steer into the waves. But wooden ships? Water tribe ships? He winced. Yes, I can.
Hakoda took a step back.
You have?
No! But that wasn't all the truth. I didn't. But when I was a kid, he hunched his shoulders at the memory. After the storm, the Shungs took me in. But the first time we went out fishing and a wind came up, they threw me overboard. They had to.
The chief's shoulders stiffened, blue cloth rippling.
They threw you. I had a rope. Lung Shui bit his lip, trying to squash a flare of anger. How did this water tribe chief think he had any reason to judge his village? He'd been tossing waves in a tantrum. At least their way no one had died.
His family died in a storm, Saluan said quietly. He got washed ashore. Nobody believes he sank the ship.
Yeah, right, Lung Shui snarled under his breath.
But even a kid waterbender can do a lot of damage in a panic. Make waves worse, lurch the water in the bilge, so the ship heels over at just the wrong moment, freeze the water right in the plank so the whole hull splits at the seams. Nobody in the village would take Lung Shui out on the water. Not for years. Not until he could tamp it down and not feel instead of think. It wasn't safe.
She frowned. Your tribe lives out on the ice, right? Has Katara ever lost her temper? Really lost it?
Blue eyes narrowed in a way that said Hakoda knew exactly what Saluan was implying.
My daughter would never harm her people.
You think Lung Shui wanted to hurt the Shungs?
Saluan fired back. Benders get upset. They bend. They don't always know they're bending. Not unless you can yank them around to see it.
She let out a breath. Zuko said Katara was about to start a riot, trying to get your warriors to start killing people, when all he wanted to do was leave. On the island, would have been my job to sit on her. So what did you see happen?
I saw the arrogant young son of the man who ordered my wife's death laying hands on my daughter.
Hakoda's mouth was a grim line.
The last southern waterbender, the hope of our tribe.
Who was that close to smashing up your whole fleet just because she got ticked off? Lung Shui snapped.
My daughter might need practice with her bending, but she would never deliberately harm her tribe,
Hakoda said firmly.
Waterbenders are blessed by the spirits. We must show them honor and respect. We don't abuse waterbending children when they make a mistake, and we don't murder them. He pointed down toward the harbor. That firebender is the son, the grandson, and the great-grandson of men who've done their worst to destroy the world. Why are warriors from Kyoshi Island anywhere near these people?
And if Zuko had heard that tone, Lang Shui knew, the ships would be ash even now. And I'm not sure I'd try to stop him. He saved my life.
Did he? Hakoda said flatly. Why?
Because he's in the same spooky boat I am. Because we both got drafted by the spirits. Your law in specific. Because he's a good guy, even if he is twitchy as a rattle viper on a hot rock. You know what? I don't care. I was going to die. He got me out of it. Now we're on top of the volcano that killed Avatar Yangchen, and he's trying to stop it from taking out Avatar Aang. I'm going to help. What are you going to do?
Hakoda looked him up and down again. Less the look he'd give a kid and more one he'd grant one of the tribe's young warriors. That lump of smoking rock can kill an avatar?
Oh, let me, Selwyn said with gruesome glee. That rock, she pointed down to the cone, that's just an itty-bitty tiptoe of a Sagitatsu.
She waved her arms wide at the whole caldera. Your ships, they're sitting in Asagitatsu.
Hakoda choked. That firebender didn't. You're living in.
Didn't you know? Firebenders like living in volcanoes. Gives them an edge.
Lung Shui smirked a little. Like waterbenders living in ice.
Blue eyes narrowed, obviously considering that.
Huh. Wonder why. None of the colonies on the eastern continent are in volcanoes. What's he after? The western islands. Had to be. Zuko was right. An invasion. Oh, monkey feathers.
So yes, Asagitatsu can kill an avatar, Lang Shui said, before Hakoda could bring up something even more unsettling. And it did. Ba Sing Se and the Northern Water Tribe both have records. Avatar Yangchen died here. He felt it in his bones. He knew it as he knew the landscape they'd skimmed over. Ghosts of autumn foliage fading into the herbs of mountain summer. I knew this place long ago. Hyorin had known it. He kind of wished he didn't.
Airbenders are really vulnerable to breathing ash, Lang Shui made himself go on. They're meant to breathe really high, really thin air. They don't have as much protection as us lowlanders. And nowhere near as much as dragon children. Ash and smoke just did not kill them the way it would most humans. Their healers can fix ash. At least that's what the stories say. But when's the last time anyone saw an airbending healer? If Asagitatsu goes, if Aang gets downwind of it, even as far away as Ba Sing Se, he winced, it could kill him.
My daughter's a healer,
Hakoda objected.
Great, Lang Shui drawled. Does she know how to handle mortar in somebody's lungs? That's what it's like.
He shuddered. It's a really ugly way to die. Hey, Selwyn rested a hand on his shoulder, careful to keep clear of his draw.
Relax. The face dealer works through the sea, right? We'll be fine up here.
Yeah, I hope so, Lung Shui muttered, trying not to see memories of those choked and dying from Asagitatsu's first rumbles centuries ago. Gasping, breathless wrecks of bodies, crying for breath that could not come. Trying not to feel Hyorin's terror, as they'd realized Asagitatsu would not be stopped. Not by an avatar, not by anyone. Trying not to remember
heat and failure and dark snowflakes of glass shredding his lungs from the inside out. Don't think about it. In dreams, he saw them all, choking, burning, dying. In dreams, Zuko failed, and Asagi Tatsu mocked them with lightning laughter from burning clouds as the drowned swarmed over them. His spirit could only watch, powerless, as dead flesh tore them apart. In his dreams, the dead all had Saluan's face. Lung Shui drew in a breath, trying not to shake, pushing the horror away. Sorry, I just keep seeing it. You could have died. You could have died right in front of me, and I wouldn't have known until it was too late. The Gnar? Hakoda looked as if he wanted to jump down slope and roll back to his fleet. What did Zuko do to offend him?
Keep breathing,
Lung Shui growled, pulled on the lighter pack. He knew Saluan would fuss at him if he took the heavier one. Sheesh, he wasn't a baby. Gathered up ice with a curl of his hands and started walking, and made himself just breathe. In and out, calm. Zuko's not the only one who wants to break things. It wasn't just how close Saluan had come to dying. It was the price. The damned infuriating price of being what he was. We stand in between. We can walk to the very shore of the Spirit Sea and come back. And all it cost was prying a Yauren's spirit from his body. Just a little. Spirits weren't supposed to come loose from live bodies. It left a mismatch in your chi. A ragged edge to everything you thought, everything you felt. And the only way to fix it was to spend time just being and hope you healed. But he wasn't about to explain that to Chief Hakoda. Not to someone who knew firebenders had a temper and who deliberately pushed Zuko's as far as he could. We don't know why, but the face dealer wants Asagi Tatsu to erupt. Lung Shui said instead. We ended up fighting for our lives against dead men. He glared up at the sky where gliders circled. And they just watched. Easy, Saluan murmured. How much can they see from up there anyway? We came on Suzuran, and the last time the Fire Nation... Oh. For a long moment, the twisted darkness in front of them didn't make sense. It was hard-edged, but not raw. Flecked with orange-red and specks of dirty tan. Bone. Those are bone fragments. And now Lung Shui could see where metal had torn, a jagged rip through the emblem of Ozai's flame. The massive steel and iron carriage had twisted, the way only wind and unforgiving stone could manage. Bones were half inside, half scattered around the chilling wreck. Shattered like ice dropped from the top of a cliff. He looked up from the rusted chain and crumpled grappling hook, searching the cliff face for scars. Found them, thousands of feet above. They never had a chance.
They were attacking the Mechanist's people,
Hakoda said levelly. So what? I can't feel sorry for them? Lung Shui flared. They saw it coming. You know that, don't you? Either a bomb or the Avatar or your daughter. Something blasted them loose and they fell. They knew they were falling. He closed his eyes and shook his head. At least if somebody stabs you, you know they're just better than you.
Dead is dead, Hakoda began.
He means they could have left ghosts. Saluan cut him off. That's bad for all of us. She jabbed a gloved finger down toward the water.
We were fighting drowned corpses because their ghosts were in the face stealer's power.
Have you ever tried killing dead bodies? Her voice edged up a little, shaking at the edges.
I know you guys like to fight, but trust me, it's not fun.
Sis, Lung Shui caught her hand, pulled her arm around him in a deliberate hug.
It's okay. We'll tell Zuko. He'll get someone up here to do what it takes for a memorial.
He scowled at the chieftain. You think Zuko's the enemy? Fine. But there's no shamans up here, no priests, no sages, nobody who can lay fire ghosts to rest. Except two princes, who are trying to keep us all alive. The royal family aren't chiefs like you. They've got the authority to deal with ghosts, whether they like it or not.
Sea green eyes narrowed. You know spirits can cross into our world on solstice nights, but you've never seen a horde of fire ghosts because they're fire, they're summer, and you have midsummer sun. Here, we don't. What do you think's going to happen to that temple if Zuko doesn't do something before the solstice?
If the volcano doesn't get us all first, Saluin muttered. Hakoda's brows bounced up. He looked over shattered metal again.
Why? He asked at last. He's Ozai's son.
And to water, family was everything.
And he's Shidan's grandson, Long Shui shot back. We met that cranky old dragon. Byakko thinks the war is crazy.
Hakoda folded his arms. Crazy or not, you're a Kyoshi Islander, and you are willing to speak for the prince who burned your homes?
Yes.
Hakoda's eyes narrowed. He shook his head.
And if that wasn't a silent, you're all insane, but I'm not rude enough to say it. Long Shui would take dishes duty for the next week.
Like you said, we're Kyoshi Islanders, Saluin smirked, with a coy toss of her hair.
The same people who sat out this war for 100 years. How come you're not mad at us?
Oh, great, Long Shui almost groaned. That's not going to work.
We're at war with the Fire Nation, Hakoda said levelly. We need all the help we can get.
Painted brows arched, Saluin jerked a thumb back toward the harbor.
You can't be serious.
You don't have to like him, Saluin shrugged. Heck, you don't even really have to trust him. Think about it. He's an exile. Any of the Fire Lord's guys who land here are going to come straight for his throat, not your mechanist friends.
Hakoda started to speak and thought better of it. Looked back at the harbor.
Long Shui tried not to bounce on his toes. The man was thinking. They had to give him a little time.
Frowning, Hakoda looked up to the temple far above. Are you really worried they'll drop bombs?
We have natural gas coming up all kinds of places. We're not sure where all of them are yet.
Long Shui settled the pack on his shoulders a bit better. We don't know what they're planning, so we're going to find out. How about you?
I suppose we'll see, then.
He doesn't trust us either. Terrific!
But around the next bend in the path was the metal cable carriage thing Zuko had described. With luck, their way up.
Here goes everything.
They don't make sense,
Hakoda thought, standing in the shadows of the temple's main courtyard as Long Shui and Saluin shared out those bulky packs they'd dragged up on the metal platform ride. And hadn't that been enough to set an honest man's teeth on edge, dangling in the air higher than birds? Yet the contents of those packs were even more disturbing. Rice, dried fish, other bits and sundries Hakoda recognized as Fire Nation and Earth Kingdom travel supplies. Everything as lightweight and travel rough as a man could make it. Even the sugared lemon slices, for the children had their place. If you had some unthinkable aversion to sea prunes, which most other nations did, you needed those on shipboard.
He knows you're hungry.
Hakoda kept his voice low as he spoke to the mechanist. No sense taking chances, even with Kyoshi Islanders. Not when they seemed to think Ozai's son was trustworthy. And not just for a truce. They could say whatever they liked. Those two were living with the Fire Nation. That was unsettling.
That's dangerous. I'm afraid General Iroh has always known a frightening amount about us.
G tapped his monocle absently, watching his neighbors.
I think he may have been one of those who argued for us to be left alone here to begin with. Well, mostly alone. He sighed. I suppose we didn't really think it through. The Avatar was here. We won our freedom. We were well stocked for the winter.
And now summer was on them. Hakoda nodded, gauging the appearance of the wives and children gathered around the gifts, measuring looks of worry and guarded relief.
They're not starving yet, but they know it could happen if something doesn't go right soon. There's nothing up here you can hunt or gather. There are fruit trees, and some gardens run wild that we've reclaimed. The chicken pigs can forage for themselves, mostly. And there are a few fish in the high streams we can get to. Outside of that, no, not much.
G sighed.
Even if there were, the gliders can only carry so much weight. Our balloon does better, but it's quite visible. I would hate to repay our relatives down the slope for their grain by bringing them unwanted attention.
Relatives? Hakoda straightened, curious.
Not everyone from our village wanted to build a life in the air,
G admitted.
Even of those who came with us, a few couldn't handle living in the temple. Especially our herbalist, Chunhua. She stayed long enough to be sure Teo was healing. Well, as much as he ever will. Yet she just kept getting frailer, like a dying reed. She says it was because she couldn't feel the turning of the earth, or some such poet's nonsense. Though I suppose she has a point, of sorts. The seasons aren't the same up here. It's the wind that drives what we can do and when.
He brightened.
But you've brought us a challenge, yes?
Wonderful.
Bemused, Hakoda followed him down corridors and through odd doors, stopping in a room more cluttered than an Earth Kingdom armory. G spread Sokka's scribbling over a half-covered desk and sat to study it with a happy sigh.
Sokka's never been very artistic,
Hakoda felt compelled to add. Wooden fingers clacked as G waved it off.
Minor representational details. Blueprints can come later. What matters is the idea to be explored and tested.
He gazed at the paper with the look of a man who had seen the hunt of his dreams.
Frowned, and turned the paper around. What am I looking at exactly?
Drawing on his memory of that excited conversation with Sokka, Hakoda reached past him, moving the image a quarter turn right.
Metal fish with waterbenders inside.
He just hoped there were as many waterbenders in the foggy swamp as Sokka said.
Waterbending where there wasn't any ice? Unreal.
Waterbenders on Kyoshi Island? That's more unreal.
Saluen was right. He was angry at them. If he'd known to send Katara there for training, if they'd broken their precious neutrality and helped, even a few years earlier?
Ifs catch no whales, Hakoda reminded himself firmly. You got a load in the net. Don't lose it. Firebenders and water don't mix. Usually.
He amended, recalling a certain irritating prince and towering spouts of flame-wrapped waves. He'd never seen anything like it before that day, and he hoped no one ever saw it again.
Sokka thinks if we go under the water, like the drill, carving through a medium they never dreamed needed to be protected, the mechanist said half to himself. The size will be the tricky part.
The size? Hakoda echoed, not sure if he'd heard correctly.
The larger they are, the more air they can contain,
G said matter-of-factly.
But larger fish, so to speak, will also be more difficult to push through the water. You've seen that with ordinary ships, I'm sure.
Hakoda scowled. The Fire Nation never seems to have any trouble.
Oh, they do. You'd be surprised how much trouble they do have, even with coal engines to power them.
The mechanist said absently.
That freighter in the harbor? It's not the size for one of their massive cargo ships, or their troop ships. It could probably put enough speed to outmatch your fleet. But it's certainly not one of their fast assault ships. Cargo or speed. They can do one or the other. That one tries to do both, so it's probably not much of a success at either. I can't imagine why it's still in service. Unless they just didn't bother breaking it up for scrap. He tapped the drawing. Mining. That's what we should draw from. Miners know how much air we need and how much weight a bender can move. With those numbers, yes, we can do this. Wait, I have some scrolls around here somewhere. Hakoda found a patch of wall that didn't have something propped against it or hanging from it, and settled back to watch G hunt knowledge down. He wanted some time to think, anyway. What is Zuko up to? The young man was the Fire Lord's son, when all was said and done. He had to be up to something. Which was why he'd played angry Water Tribe Barbarian to the hilt. Firebenders never looked past it. Well, almost never. It wasn't all an act. He'd like nothing better than to ambush that spark-throwing noble arrogance and lay him out cold behind an igloo, preferably in the middle of a winter night. Bad enough he'd bound Katara in his fire, but that letter... He almost killed my daughter with a piece of paper. If Zuko could do that with just ink and words, Hakoda didn't want to know what he could manage with armed men, and a ship, and a bay that was actually a volcano, where the very water was on fire. And Bato was right. He was an idiot. Pricking at a youngster's overblown ego might have been fun, and even necessary. But meeting Zuko over water where fire already burned? They'd seen him use oil before. Not your brightest day, Hakoda admitted. You keep seeing a firebender when it seems in his head he's a warrior. That was hard to grasp. The tribe elders who discussed waterbenders with him as he was growing up, and Kana especially, had always given him the impression that benders never used steel. The spirits had gifted them with power, and using any lesser weapon would be an offense in their eyes. Apparently, neither Zuko nor Longshui had had a Kana in their lives. And we've seen where that's led the Fire Nation, haven't we? Led them and their so-called royal family. Why was Longshui so convinced they needed Zuko to deal with ghosts? Iroh, Hakoda could believe, might deal with spirits. Elders of the tribe were always the closest to the spirit world. But a young man barely more than his son's age? Not likely. Longshui couldn't know what he was talking about. But those eyes. He'd seen them on a few of the elders when he was a much younger man. Ancient, distant eyes. Eyes that had been where no human should walk, had seen what no living man was meant to see. Ancient eyes, and that chilling streak of white hair and dark. Longshui was spirit-touched. He knew it. Bato knew it. The whole fleet knew it. Which was likely why Bato hadn't argued too hard about letting him go off alone. It'd take a braver man than anyone should have to be to walk with a spirit-touched bender. And the Fire Nation troops had apparently been doing just that. Were they crazy? Shirong said the volcano spirit recognized Zuko as Lord here. Could that be true? If so, what did it mean for his people? Yes, we can do it, G said abruptly. The only problem will be getting enough metal, now that the Fire Nation is no longer supplying us. He paused for a moment, bearded face bent in a wry, quiet smile. Well, perhaps they'll supply us even now. Those monstrous tanks ought to be put to some good use. In other circumstances, Hakoda would agree with him. Turn your enemy's weapons against him? It was only fitting. But if Longshui were spirit-touched... There might be a problem with some of those tanks. Saluin squashed the urge to creep across the stone courtyard glider landing spot,
straightened her shoulders, and walked jauntily over to Longshui's side. Like they weren't staring out into a gulf of nothing but air and clouds.
Wow, that is a long way down.
Yeah, her little brother said absently, hand out, flattened, to feel the warm wind rising over stone. I think maybe Law picked the wrong person.
What? You mean you're not dying to fling yourself off the side with nothing but some bamboo and cloth holding you up?
Saluen teased.
No!
Ouch. Well, that was definite. Hey, first things first, right? She kept her tone light, reaching out to grip that thin shoulder. They're already flying. You just find somebody you can teach to bend. Let them handle the swooping through the air part.
But I'm supposed to do it.
She heard the metal on stone of someone heading their way with a cart. But they weren't in earshot yet. Did she say that? Seriously? Did she? Maybe you've got air, but you were water. Teaching airbenders, if we find any, that's going to be plenty of work. You can't teach someone swordsmanship if you're worried about cutting yourself. Why should you have to teach flying?
I'm not afraid of flying!
Seriously? A cheerful young voice broke in, over the rumble of approaching wheels. Katara was scared her first time, and she'd been flying on Appa for months. Saluen looked, blinked, and looked a bit further down. Teo, right? Wheeling his chair up to them, the boy smirked a little. What gave it away?
It's the ears, Saluen said, mock serious. Your father's are a little more singed, but they match.
Teo laughed, bringing his wheels to a halt.
Is everybody on Kyoshi Island like you?
The whole island would float away if we were, Longshui muttered.
Already did that once, Saluen said cheerfully.
Hey, maybe that's why Qin Village still hates us. Kyoshi didn't just kick Qin's ass, she did it hammered.
Both boys were staring at her, appalled.
You know, if Oyaji heard you say that, Longshui managed, he'd have dumped us both off the island, boat or no boat.
He paused.
On the other hand, boy, that would explain a lot.
You think an avatar would get drunk?
Teo sputtered.
Sure, why not? Saluen shrugged. They're human, right? Kyoshi saw the kind of burned villages Qin left behind. Who wouldn't get drunk?
Teo stared at her, drummed his fingers on one wheel, suddenly thoughtful.
We don't hear much about Qin the Conqueror up here. He hesitated, deliberately.
A lot about the Fire Nation.
We saw the tanks.
Longshui nodded.
Teo's jaw set, stubborn. We can do it again.
I don't see why you'd want to, Saluen said casually. Zuko doesn't have tanks.
She gave him her best, I am a Kyoshi warrior and can whip your scrawny little butt look.
Didn't you guys read the treaty Zuko sent up here? The Earth King gave him dragon's wings so there wouldn't be any more tanks heading up here. Or other problems.
Other problems?
Teo said warily.
You mean like that smoke dragon we saw?
Azaki Tatsu is going to be part of the solution, not the problem, Longshui said confidently. But what she was after? Yeah, that other problem.
You mean the other Fire Nation soldiers?
Teo pounced.
Everybody saw the armor, and you let that thing light them on fire?
Saluen bristled, ready to give this ungrateful little brat a piece of her mind.
You were too high up, Longshui said, a quiet statement of fact.
You couldn't see it. They were already dead.
Teo swept an arm across to brush away the argument.
Saluen squinted as wind suddenly gusted dust in her eyes.
Anything that burns like that is already dead. Yeah, I know. I've seen what happens with natural gas.
No.
Longshui's voice was level. It pricked the hairs on her neck. They were already dead.
We were being attacked by drowned men, bodies from the invasion of the North, controlled by a spirit who wants us all dead, including you. Teo shook his head. That's not possible. Dead is dead. Sure, the Avatar is a powerful bender, but spirits don't really get involved in our lives. Long Tui raised an eyebrow. You're serious? I wish he wasn't, Saluen shuddered. You ever hack something to pieces and have it keep trying to kill you? Spirits are real, and some of them are very, very bad news. Teo looked between them, eyes wide, put his head down, lip gripped between his teeth as one hand fingered a wheel. Shifting her weight from foot to foot, Saluen waited. Come on, Teo said at last. There's somebody you need to talk to. Which led to climbing ramps, passing in and out of walled areas, and finally rounding a bend into a long, cozy hall that had been taken over as a mass kitchen, full of pots rattling, bowls clinking in sinks, and more eager kids helping out than Saluen had ever seen in one place. She could already smell their rice cooking. Aunt Chung Chung, Teo called over the tumult and splash of soapy water. Auntie, they need to talk to you. Throw in all the fish scraps and fern bits. A heavyset matron in dark green was directing one of the girls tending a bubbling pot. A little rice will make those go a long way. Teo, she glanced up. I know you know better than to get tangled up near fires and boiling waters, so... It's important. I imagine so. Wiping her hands on a towel, Chung Chung patted a tiny dishwasher on the head, made her way toward them, and off to the right of the doorway, out of the way of concentrating cooks. Well now, you have a problem your father can't put right with a pulley and some genius? Teo shifted in his chair, obviously uncomfortable. They say we have a problem with spirits. Do they now? Chung Chung focused on Long Shui, held his gaze for a long breath, and sighed. Oh, child, what were they thinking? You're so young for this. Even my great-grand Chengfu was older when the earth started whispering to her. Come here. Gulping, Long Shui let her hug him, eyes scrunched shut. I can do it. I have to. I know, child. Chung Chung patted his back. But don't you forget the rest of us can help. Great-Gran was spirit-touched long before these youngsters were ever born. Maybe we can't fight what we can't see, but we sure can help you kick its sorry ass. Auntie! Teo squeaked. You knew someone who was spirit-touched? Saluen pounced. I do not feel jealous. I'm his big sister. He could use an auntie. She knew the flood was coming. Chung Chung said firmly. Not soon enough, but some of us made it. She let go. So, tell an auntie what's so bad the great spirits tossed some child from Kyoshi Island all the way up to the top of the world. Long Shui swallowed and scrubbed his eyes. It started over 1,000 years ago,